Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 532. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up?
Not a whole heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Well, I'm just enjoying some Impact Wrestling. I did actually have to finish up Raw today before the show here because I was watching the Steelers last night. You know, those OPA topics have to be watched. So, you know, Raw got pushed off, and I'll tell you what, it was just fine that it got pushed off. There were a couple of good things that went on during Raw, but that was about it. And it's not good that one of the best things that happened was the first segment of the night. Things pretty much went downhill from there.
What even was the first segment of the night?
Paige being taken out of the Kabuki Warrior situation, and then Kairi Sane with her match with Becky Lynch.
Oh, yeah. Match with Becky and Kairi was really good. The thing with Paige, I don't know. I didn't really care for it. I don't think that was a plot hole and storyline thread that needed to be filled in any way. they just could have kept moving on without her. Especially if she was going to, you know, behave the way that she behaved during that segment. If that segment was supposed to be about fully establishing the Kabuki Warriors as heels, because they feel like they still get cheered too much, then, I don't know, Paige being a total bitch was probably not the not the right way to go about that.
I guess the one thing I didn't like about the segment was that the announcers are trying to put over the mist, and Paige basically rolled outside and just walked to the apron or walked to the barricade and just stood there. Like, that really wasn't much of a sell job.
No, I don't think she can. She really can't sell. She couldn't take a back bump. I don't think she can really. I don't know what kind of range of motion she has with her neck as far as, you know, her being able to, you know, jerk her head up, jerk her head back, or up and down, or anything of that nature. It really made it look like a mild annoyance at best. She was not selling that like she could have been permanently blinded. So all totaled, I actually hated that. I can honestly say I hated that part. If that's all they could have Paige do because her neck is in that bad a shape, then once again, they shouldn't have even bothered bringing her back for that.
Yeah.
The Warriors have already fully moved on.
That is kind of the funny thing. Like, I would hazard a guess that we bitch about them not continuing stories most of the time. But this, I do really think that this was a situation that they did not need to worry about it.
No one was asking where Paige was. Paige was not missed. at least from her role in this act. It was always awkward, them together. She really didn't. She added absolutely nothing. It had been addition by subtraction for a while for the Kabuki Warriors. Yeah, no, I mean, and if that's how little Paige can physically be involved in storylines, in the ring and in front of the crowd, then it's best to have her retired and doing the WWE backstage on FS1 stuff.
That's it's not looking good for, and I mean that's just got to be rough for it to be that bad.
I mean,
If that
I
is
feel
the
old for her.
case.
That's that mean about it. To be as young as she is, and for her in-ring career to be that over, for her health situation to be that tenuous. No, that's absolutely awful. But then
But
she should not
yeah.
be getting physically involved in absolutely anything.
Agreed. And I'm trying to think of what the other, because there's one other. Humberto Carrillo provided another glimpse of his quality against AJ Styles this week, which I wasn't surprised by. I mean, I caught him just enough because I feel like he had a cup of coffee in NXT before moving to 205 Live. And I'm kind of excited to see where he gets to go in the WWE.
I have not seen enough of him to care either way, honestly.
That's a fair enough point to not really be invested in him. And I mean, I guess I just had a hard time trying to invest in a whole lot of anything on Raw this week, especially since they were really hyping up the I was about to call it Crown Royal event, but I have alcohol on my brain evidently. Crown Jewel. And yeah, I really don't care about any of that stuff. And then I guess the other big angle to talk about would be the main event of the show, which Rusev and Lana have been a topic of entertainment for a while now. I guess they got to take over TV as the one and only cuckold angle. Since Mike Bennett has not seen TV time in quite some time, and requesting his release,
Yeah, that's gonna. That'll do it.
yeah. I mean, hey, why not keep him on TV and keep him looking like a fucking idiot? But that kind of seems like the way the WWE sometimes likes to handle their talents that. Request their release. But hey, whatever, not a big deal. Let's get back to the Lana Rusev Bobby Lashley triangle. And I mean, it really escalated this week, and I really like that it went somewhere. And I especially enjoyed Bobby Lashley taking his ring, shoving it down Lashley's mouth, and punching him in the face. That would have maybe been a more therapeutic way to deal with my own divorce.
Oh, he did it for you, and everyone like, and everyone out there just like you. No, you know what? I liked it. It was so over the top, and done so, and they committed to it. I liked it a lot. At least some forward mobility, a reason for Rusev to want to blame Bobby Lashley as much, if not more, than Lana. While also at the same time, Rusev finally coming to the realization that his marriage is over. Rusev, obviously much less of a cuck this week, more of a someone that the audience can get behind.
Yeah, him wanting sex all the time is certainly not going to get him booze. I'm gonna throw
No.
that out there.
No, not at all. I mean, the fact that no one else on this show, the fact that no one else on this show is allowed to use this kind of language makes this one segment stand out and be memorable. You know, it's the one thing on the show that will pretty much stay in my memory. even by this time next week, so it was a success in that regard. Yeah, no, I liked it. I haven't liked a lot of things they've done with the storyline. I mean, Bobby Lashley is a bastard. Lana's a bitch. And Rusev has his justification to, you know, go full bore against Bobby Lashley. Lashley, as a smooth-talking ladies man, is playing his role to the hilt. As I said, if we're going to do it, you got to commit to it, and everyone involved has. It took a turn into a direction that where you can at least, understand, totally get Rusev's motivations. And he's finally done. He's done crying, and he's ready to kick some ass. But no, it was good stuff.
So that's, in my opinion, not really good when you have a 3-hour show and your two best segments are one that you remember and one that you don't remember. But they were also, the start of the show and the end of the show. That leaves a whole lot in between that was not terribly good.
Yeah, you know what? Raw under Paul Heyman is better. It's a more watchable show, but, not a lot of standing out.
I guess that's what I was going to say. Like, there was nothing that I was really offended by that happened, but there really wasn't, like you said, like, there wasn't a whole lot that stood out either, and I guess that's an improvement overall. hard to look at it that way, I guess, since I didn't feel like I watched much of anything. But, I suppose that could be an improvement. One thing that I definitely forgot to do this week, despite numerous reminders, was tape SmackDown on FS1.
Well, you weren't the only one. Wow, I did not expect that rating to go under a million viewers. That shocked me. But I will see what happens in the coming weeks on Fox. But I think that's more of an indictment on this entire launch and failure to growth of FS1 has been from the start. Than anything WWE did.
Well, and it's kind of, I guess the interesting thing about this to me is that I feel like, the Fox kind of was using the WWE as replacement for losing the UFC. But the UFC was kind of complaining about their exposure on Fox. And, I guess I don't know where you go from there. Like, Fox has definitely pushed SmackDown, on many platforms. Whether it was Masked Singer, the NFL, any other high-profile kind of spots, they definitely have featured them. But, yeah, I don't know what kind of viewership they're expecting, because I can't remember what they were saying there, because I know that was lower than their shows on Fox by a fairly significant...
Oh, it was... I think it was an over 1.5 million drop from week to week. Yeah, so, something, yeah, it was, it's bad, but it's only, it's really bad if they go back to Fox this week and they drop under 2 million. I feel like that's the line that they really don't want to cross as far as, you know, Fox being unhappy with them and being happy, you know, regretting this decision to give them so much money to put them in prime time on the broadcast channel.
Yeah, I mean, Friday night is a bit of a deadsville for TV viewing. Although, site friend Josh, he did say that he is usually off on Fridays, so he enjoys SmackDown being on Fridays. unlike yours truly, who seems to have something up his sleeve on Friday evenings, and I did this past Friday evening, which is why I forgot to set SmackDown on FS1. So, yeah, I mean, some people do benefit from it being on national TV and on Fridays. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, there's no reason to kind of fret about the FS1, because even I would have to say hardcore fans like myself forgot that they were moving stations.
Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, the FS1 move is, once again, FS1 has been a complete failure at the jump. There's not much else on the channel that anyone else really watches. They throw the lowest level of college football or anything else on that channel. WWE, you know, we'll see what a WWE talk show does when it starts, I believe, next week to be a weekly thing. Between it being on FS1 and the World Series, not a huge concern. Obviously, the World Series will be, if it's not done tonight, it will be done tomorrow, which will suck for the NXT and AEW ratings if the World Series goes to a Game 7. Take a look at that, actually. See where that is right now.
Yeah, I was... I'm like, oh, yeah, what is that going on with that one? I was too busy watching Impact to worry about it.
Yeah, the Nationals are up 3-2 at the top of the 7th. And the Astros are up on the series currently. So the Astros need to win for there not to be a Game 7 tomorrow. Okay.
Yep.
That's where that is right now.
Yeah, the home team has yet to win a game in the series, and Washington is looking to hold the trend here.
Right.
I mean, Game 7s are awesome.
And yeah, there's almost nothing better. There's nothing better in sports. There's almost nothing better in sports.
Yeah,
there isn't at all. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I would not. Once again, if AEW and NXT drop even more than they did the previous week against the Game 7, once again, I wouldn't go into panic mode over that either.
Right.
I mean, October can be such a weird time to debut wrestling shows because of the fact that you're against the divisional playoffs and then the World Series itself. Especially in the WWE's case, when you're debuting on Fox and you know 4 weeks in, you're dealing with a preemption and a move to a much weaker channel.
Yeah, because I was trying to think of how many times I turn on FS1, but I guess I do occasionally to watch the Bundesliga since I am a soccer fan.
Yeah, I
But
mean,
that is it. Like you mentioned the college football games. I don't remember the last time I turned to FS1 to watch one of the college football games.
yeah, no, I mean, it's, yeah, they get the lowest, they throw them kind of the lowest level of college sports. They don't put any, they've never bothered to put any NFL games on there. Some Major League Baseball stuff, because I know the week before they did, they had the divisional series final game up against SmackDown while it was on, while the rain on Fox, while that was up, ended up on FS1, but that's a, you know, that's not the World Series.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
And I guess it isn't surprising to use, a substation in these cases for a larger sport. Because, I mean, I know that the NHL does that. They'll pop on NBC for the Stanley Cup Finals, but the rest of the time they're on NBC Sports. I don't know. In relative terms, if that's better off than FS1, but
See, I know it varies from cable provider to cable satellite provider, from fields between cable and satellite providers. On WoW, which I have and you used to have,
Right.
FS1 is in a good grouping of channels that includes USA,
Oh.
TBS, Sci-Fi, FX, and AMC within five stations of it. But I don't
Yeah,
know
and
if.
it's in a pretty solid spot on mine too, 'cause it's with the early sports package on the low 200s. So it's packed right in there. Like I don't have a problem finding it. It's just that in general, like it's one of those things that I guess when I hear people complaining about channel surfing, I don't really do that at all for the most part. I just kind of forget where stations are. Like, I have some general idea where they are. I should probably bookmark some of them. It'd probably be easier. But I guess I don't channel surf all that much, so I never would have noticed even that this had moved to FS1.
Right. Yeah, and once again, a lot of people had the same issue.
Yeah.
And again, it was against the World Series game, and some people just assumed that SmackDown wasn't going to be on this week. Although it feels like they bashed people over the head with the FS1 move. Maybe people literally just couldn't find the channel. Who knows? I mean, they had a, not that SmackDown was an overwhelmingly good show. Once again, it's got that problem now that we're sitting here on Tuesday that I watched it. I did watch it on Friday, and I don't remember much other than the angle with the, well, other than Ric Flair doing yet another embarrassing promo,
Oh, jeez.
ranting, raving promo, while and the attack on the Brock Lesnar segment where it was revealed
Oh.
that he was beating up on Dominic again, and then the attack in the trainer's room. That was pretty much the major thing of note from SmackDown. Although I did like the segment. I know you haven't didn't get to see it, so I'll do my best to explain it to you. The segment with Daniel Bryan, where he was being interviewed by Michael Cole, and Michael Cole was questioning him as to whether or not the Yes Movement was making a comeback, which was then interrupted by Sami Zayn and Shinsuke Nakamura, who are trying to get Daniel Bryan to come back to their side because they believe that eco-friendly Daniel Bryan is the eco-terrorist heel Daniel Bryan is the real Daniel Bryan, and that, you know, they care about the same things he cares about, and that he should not go back to the Yes chant, so, and which Daniel Bryan did not give an answer to. So, you know what? It's something that WWE has been good at in the past. Withholding something, the one thing that people want more than anything, but making them wait to have it. The moment where Daniel Bryan points his arms in the air and leads the yes chance. You know, he has yet to do that yet, since he's essentially turned back face, but they're still leaving him conflicted about embracing the WWE universe all the way.
Yeah, they haven't really addressed that in any manner.
Oh, actually, that's
manner.
That's what I just described. I just told you how they addressed it.
Well, they had non-addressed it, I guess. They talked about it, but I guess leading up to that point, I don't feel like anyone had talked to them about it.
Right.
I guess. And it'd been a few weeks. Like, I guess I feel like normally in the WWE, if something happens 1 week, they're expecting answers from that person the next week. And that really hasn't happened in the case of Daniel Bryan. Like, he came out and helped Roman Reigns, and things kind of kept on going from there. So that was the other kind of big thing of note on SmackDown, though.
Oh, no, yeah, nothing really else really going on SmackDown.
I guess we could move on to something that we may be wholly unqualified to talk about. And that is the t-shirt controversy that I did get to take a look at, and because it was posted just about everywhere, the Jordan Miles new shirt, which looked suspiciously like and I'm not quite sure what the racist character's name was. But it definitely looked that way. And, yeah, he really went off about his shirt. And
yeah, he definitely did. It was definitely a huge miss by everyone involved. You're a graphic design guy, you're an architect, you have significantly more of an eye for these things than I do. When they dropped all of those t-shirts at once on that day, nearly a couple of months back, and just the NXT shirt line, everyone got a shirt that had no thought put into it. Horrible designs. I don't know if they sold a single thing from it.
Yeah, that's.
I don't understand why they did it. I mean, so many of these people, either they barely have been on NXT, or they haven't been on at least NXT TV, or haven't been on NXT TV at all. They have no defined characters. Yeah, and then to do that. Yeah, it looked absolutely terrible, and then for there to be an email trail that includes, you know, that completely points the finger right at Triple H, saying that whatever the original concept for the shirt was, Triple H wanted it more teethy.
Oh, that's bad. I did not read the email chain. I guess I saw something out there, but did not dig even that deep, because it's just like, oof. And yeah, that's pretty. I did see that Road Dogg objected and thought it should be gray and not black or some such shenanigans.
Yeah, that would have helped. Although once again, you know, guy who smiles is not a character trait. It's not a gimmick. And especially, it's something that you should be very careful of, about applying to a black wrestler. I mean, there are a lot of black wrestlers who absolutely, you know, lean into, who absolutely, you know, they're characters that they're fun characters. They're completely committed to being fun characters, but so far, Jordan Miles has, you know, he won that NXT's version of the ROH top prospect tournament.
Oh, yeah,
he got one match against Adam Cole, which was a very good match, but you know, he did not win, and then hasn't been seen since. You know, I don't feel like anything about him that I saw made me think that, okay, this is a guy who just likes to smile a lot, and he's just got this big, just this big grin on his face all the time. I'm not sure what they thought he should be, but obviously he was not consulted enough about that. They did very little work in trying to make any kind of a character from him. Shirts were all terrible ideas, and yeah, I think that, I mean, it's not going to be Triple H, but someone should definitely be called on the carpet for it internally.
Yeah, it's bad. That's it. I was going to make this smart-ass remark and decided not to, just go, well, the WWE does make a lot of terrible shirts. but it is weird to not have talent involved at all. And it is kind of bad that, to me, I kind of felt like they had implied Smiles just by naming him Miles. To be honest with you, when they started putting him in the in that whatever breakout star tournament.
Yeah, I mean, this is what can happen when you don't have any you don't have any diversity in the office, and I don't necessarily think WWE really does at all. Usually it's complaints that are made against the main office and they're right at Vince's door. But this is one that goes to Triple H and the team he's put together in Orlando for NXT. I know NXT is operated on a lesser budget than WWE, but they're now getting a large right fees that should pretty much make NXT and the Performance Center an actual profitable division of of the company. So more effort, more thought should be put into these things. As I said, and yeah, I think that if you want to be a progressive company, which this is that's Stephanie's whole, while also, you know, obviously being a billion-dollar company that doesn't want to pay taxes as well. The economy that exists with WWE and how they want to be seen with, you know, socially and politically, that it would probably would behoove them to have more diversity in their executive team.
Yeah, or as I noted, consult your talent before coming out with a goddamn shirt. Like, I don't even know why that isn't just a thing. You know, even if it's just to kind of talk to them about their character. You know, I feel like they have enough free time for a consult if they have like a 15-minute phone call and everyone just waits their turn in the performance center. It wouldn't be that hard. I don't understand that part at all either. Like, you really should kind of just have talent input. Like, I think it'd lead to a better product. Like, I don't necessarily expect, like, I know that the Jeff Hardys and the Finn Balors of the world will design their own t-shirts or have significant input in it. But talk to the other people. Like, if they completely blow you off, then that's fine. If they end up with a terrible shirt, then that's on them for not really kind of giving enough care about their merch. But not consulting people before coming out with their merch is, yeah, it's just a bad look to me. To just that part, too. Like, they should be involved. It's, you know, it's their product. They're trying to sell it. Like, I know the WWE is trying to sell it themselves, but it would make way more sense to have them have input.
I totally agree.
So, since we've adeptly handled T-shirt gate, at least the best of our abilities, because we cannot speak to other things within that matter, I don't think, properly. Is there anything else to talk about?
The big announcement today that the Cody versus Chris Jericho match at AEW Full Gear in a week and a half will... Well, I mean, it's standard for championship matches to be 60-minute time limits, but there will be they're bringing, because, you know, Cody loves that shit. The gimmick of having three judges in case the match goes to a time limit draw, three judges at ringside who will score the match in case, leading people to be very concerned that the match actually will go 60 minutes.
I don't mind the idea of having the judges. I don't feel like they should be used frequently. It could really have a nice flavor to, you know, it does give you that kind of boxing / MMA feel to the whole occasion. I agree. I'm not sure that I really want to see Jericho go for 60 minutes.
Nah, I mean, they have to be aware that that's a very bad idea. I mean, at least, okay, a lot of people wonder if Jericho, you know, how much is real and how much is a gimmick with Jericho being, you know, behaving in a delusional manner. But Cody needs to understand that he himself is not a 60-minute guy. Almost no one is a 60-minute guy and anymore in this day and age of the wrestling business. And the idea of 60-minute matches, especially at the pace in which modern wrestling is wrestled at, doesn't necessarily work either. Yeah, you can use the judges to build some degree of drama, but this match, you know, 25-30 minutes tops, it is fine for you know, a Cody versus Jericho main event.
Oh, if this goes over 30 minutes, we riot. Yeah, I that was some pretty decent sized news. And yeah, I mean, I guess we're just kind of in this Thursday. We are definitely not going to have an, or at least I'm not going to be involved in an AEW NXT show because that's my anniversary, and I'm not doing a show that night.
Yes, that. Yes, it is. So no,
But it is weird that yeah, we and I guess we talked about it last week. We're kind of in a no man's land here because Raw still ends entirely too late to record after. So let's. Oh, you know, one thing that I guess I was thinking about doing a separate show for, but since I feel like we have plenty of time left here. We could go ahead and kind of talk a little bit about the AIW show that I'm heading to. I'm not sure that this one's going to be on the iPay-per-view.
No, it's not. Are you going to Akron on Saturday?
Yes, I am headed to Akron on Saturday.
Is Akron closer for you than Cleveland, or is it just Saturday's better day for you than Friday?
It is closer by about a half an hour.
Okay.
And that's kind of nice. I mean, I'll take any type of shorter trip, really. But it being on Saturday does help. The new-ish schedule at this juncture with only having a half day on Friday has made attending events up north more possible, but that's still an expense going up there that I cannot afford on a monthly basis. And you had kind of talked about it a little bit earlier on the show about not wanting to do too many October shows, and AIW actually avoided having October show this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was probably a smart thing. They did quite a number of shows over the summer into September, and so to take a month off and recharge themselves, as well as not compete with all of the things that go on in October, haunted houses and.
Yeah, Halloween and stuff.
Whatever else people do. I don't really do those things. Yeah, I didn't really do those things much when I was younger either. But yeah. It's a month that there's a lot going on. There's a lot of things that are free to attend to the public. So yeah, it was probably a good move to no shows in October and then double up in November.
I guess that is the other thing, that their November date in Cleveland is the day after Thanksgiving, and because I travel after Thanksgiving back to Pennsylvania, that one is off the calendar of possibilities. And, yeah, so this one helped that it was a tad bit closer, and, Saturday really helps. And there's a few things to do there in the Akron area that I may be trying to go grab a couple of craft beers in Akron. Thirsty Dog Brewing is out of there. Maybe not necessarily one of my favorites over the years, but they were one of the earlier craft breweries in the state. So I think I will probably head to their tap room, which is not too far from the event space for AIW 200. And I guess there is the possibility that I can do the meet and greet with Ted DiBiase. But I think I've expressed that even with these level of people that are more kind of my childhood kind of wrestling, and I wouldn't call him a favorite, He was definitely memorable. I always hated him because he was the heel. But I'm not sure I really want to pony up just to meet Ted DiBiase. Like, that's one of those things that that part of the wrestling fan in me is not activated like it is in many other wrestling fan.
Yeah, that's totally understood. Yeah.
So, yeah, he's one of the draws. I believe that I'm going to be getting an Eddie Kingston match against Trey Lamar, if I'm not mistaken. I had written down the card, and I think I left that piece of paper upstairs where I do not have my hands on it. So that'll be interesting to see Eddie Kingston, since he is definitely not one of my go-to wrestlers. But I feel like when I've seen him in AIW, I've kind of enjoyed the position that they put him in.
Yeah, no, AIW Eddie Kingston is certainly my favorite Eddie Kingston. They do a good job with him. They, you know, they position him as an indie legend. Not 100% certain where they're going with the Well, I guess it depends on if he actually decides that, you know, he's had enough of wrestling. You know, it's, you know, he financially he needs to make a decision as to whether or not he wants to continue with his wrestling career. I mean, they haven't really talked much about that ever since the Filthy Tom Waller match at Absolution. That ended with him, of course, not winning the championship, but having Tom Waller and the crowd kind of begging him to stay. I haven't really heard anything official on that. So, I mean, AAW Kingston is kind of the best Kingston. So it'd be probably cool to see him in that environment.
Yeah, and I guess I was trying to. To me, one of the other big matchups was Josh Bishop taking on Nick Gage. I was trying to get Josh Bishop on the pod, but have had a really hard time finding the time to squeeze in another interview before I head up there. Although I might try tomorrow.
No interview with Nick Gage?
Well, you know, Josh Bishop is one of those guys that, especially when I actually ended up reading his bio on Twitter, I'm like, oh my god, he's only 22. Like, I'm definitely at that point where I'm like, oh, some of these guys that are on the early indie scene, I'm like, these people are entirely too young. But, you know, he certainly seems to me to have a lot of promise. And I'm kind of interested to see him, at least on the card is going to change this week. They said that rules were not going to be as lax as they normally are up at the Odeon. So this Nick Gage match might not be as out of control as some of his other matches. It'll be interesting to see him in more of a traditional wrestling match with such a young competitor who, like I said, I think has a lot of potential in the business. Another interesting matchup that I'm kind of excited to see. I cannot recall the last time I saw Alex Shelley in a professional wrestling ring. I'm pretty sure that I went to some ROH event with him in it. Have you ever gotten to? Do you recall the last time you saw him in a?
I have never seen him live. Nope.
Oh, he's from your neck of the woods, and you've never seen him live,
huh? He's never been on a show I've been to.
Interesting. He's taken on another one of those guys that, at least in some limited capacity, also that seems to have impressed a little bit recently is Lee Moriarty from AIW. So yeah, that's another one that should have a quality match for me to watch. So I'm excited about that one. And I believe the main event is the Intense Championship being defended by Matthew Justice taking on Eric Stevens. Eric Stevens, another guy that he was in ROH. Supposedly, he's only coming back for a calendar year, and six of those months have up already. Could be another quality matchup. I guess that that about does it for the AIW portion of things. I wish you were watching it, because then we could do a review, but that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Right, no. I hope that they do a Fight TV pay-per-view for the Black Friday show, but I don't know where their head's at regarding Fight TV going forward.
So I think that about wraps up the show, unless you have something else to throw in. I mean, we may as well move on out of here if the WWE was that that boring this week. okie doke.
I got nothing. Let's mosey on out of here.
Well, the Belt Time beer of the week is from Outer Belt Brewing in Carroll, Ohio. It's their standard India Pale Ale. It certainly is something of a standard pale ale, where it's not overwhelmingly fruity, but it definitely has a little bit of that aspect to it. There's definitely some bitterness in there that I tend to disdain. But it definitely does fit the IPA mold more than some of the beers that I've had recently. So it's a pretty good one. I had bought it for our Halloween party this past week. So the next few weeks we'll be featuring beers that that I collected for other people to drink. And this one was on the top of the list. It was still in the cooler. Since things are nice and cold outside still, there is still ice in my cooler from a Saturday party. That's kind of nice to have a little extra fridge space. And with that, I'm at DeFrango11. He's at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And have a good night.
Later.